If you have your Bibles, we're turning to 2 Chronicles tonight, chapter 33. The title of this week of meetings entitled is, If God Wants Your Attention, What Must the Lord Do to Get Your Attention? And each night, in the will of God, we hope to speak about an individual in the Scriptures of how the Lord did get their attention. Nobody is too hard for the Lord. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. And believe me, young person, if God wants your attention, He will get it. No matter how hard you run, how fast you run, or where you hide, God will find you. And each night we hope to take an individual, a different portion of Scripture, just to find out how the Lord did get this person's attention. I do really ask you to make a special effort to send your young people and for young people to come this week. If you leave it till next Monday, it's too late. I know some of these men, you really want to go to a ladies' meeting tomorrow night. I can't help that. If you want to go, that's okay too. But please make a special effort. It'll be good. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. We're going to speak about a young man by the name of Manasseh. The Old Testament, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, please. Chapter 33, reading the first 13 verses together, please. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, In Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven, in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times, and used enchantments, and used witchcraft, and dealt with a familiar spirit. And with wizards he wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image of the idol, which he had made in the house of God, of which God had sent to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the fruit of Israel from out of the land, which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law, the statutes, the ordinances, by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to error, and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. The Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, that they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto them, and he was entreated of them, and heard his supplications, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Amen. We pray the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Let's just pray together in a word of prayer, as we look to the Lord for his help. Even this evening. Our Father and our God, we do give thee thanks for the reading of thy precious truth. We'll thank you, Lord, for the young people, for their singing. We'll thank you, Lord, for the reading of Holy Scripture. We pray, Lord, now, Lord, for the close of this meeting, that, Lord, you'll give me help. We pray, Lord, Spirit of the living God, to fall afresh upon this meeting, even this evening, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Whenever we were in Australia a few years ago, there was a time whenever there was a young lady by the name of Chappelle Corby, and she was on her way to Indonesia. She was stopped at the airport, and her bags were searched, and she was in occupation of 4.5 kilos of illegal drugs. Now, this caught the media attention in Australia, a young girl from the Gold Coast, accused of smuggling these drugs into this country. This country, of course, took a very stiff line on this young lady and was almost going to sentence her immediately. She was arrested, having marijuana. These were found in her bags. But the fact that she was in possession of the drugs had found her guilty and automatically sentenced to 20 years in an Indonesian prison. Not the nicest of places. We were shown on television what they looked like, and they were terrible. But this young lady has continually pleaded her innocence to the charges against her, claiming that the baggage handles put the drugs into her luggage. I'm not going to mention this any further, but I will come back to it in a moment's time, of whether this young lady is guilty or innocent, or what actually happened to her in this prison. But the story of Manasseh this evening, it appeals to us because it is a perfect illustration of God's dealings with men and women and young people today. Manasseh had no thought, he had no place or no time whatsoever for God. In fact, he openly defied the Lord, openly, publicly. Yet in a wonderful way, like the prodigal, you could call this man the Old Testament prodigal. Just like the prodigal son in the New Testament, in the parable, he came to his senses, then he came to his father. And this is a very dramatic story of this illustration in 2 Chronicles, and we want to look at it. And as we read the first part of the story of Manasseh, if you were following that reading a moment ago, you can say to yourself, surely there can be no hope for such a wicked man. And rightly so, humanly speaking. But as we have been reading on, we have discovered how wonderful the sovereign grace of God really, really is. And we realize tonight that no one is beyond redemption's point. And young person, no matter where you're at in your life tonight, realize that you are never beyond redemption's point. And that no one is too bad to be saved and transformed. And the grace of God can do just that. Now we want to divide the story of Manasseh tonight into three parts. Three simple points. And the first one we want to notice is simply the man that God loved. The Bible says that God is loved. God hates sin, but he loves sinners. So much so that he sent the Lord Jesus to die for you. The man God loved. Who was Manasseh? We find him here. He was the king of Judah. He came to the throne at an early age of just 12 years of age as a boy. He reigned for 55 years and died at the age of 67. He happened to be the longest reigning Old Testament king. Now his father, as we read, I've been reading a few chapters earlier, 2 Chronicles 31:20. His father, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. It says in verse 20, thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. So if you like, Manasseh had a good and had a godly heritage. But young people tonight, we must make a point here and let you know that there is absolutely, absolutely no guarantee whatsoever that because a man's parents are good and godly and Christian, that will do absolutely nothing for a young person. Because your parents are godly, it does not guarantee for you to grow up in the knowledge and fear of the Lord. Hezekiah's son was Manasseh, who we've been reading about, and he turned out to be one of the worst characters in the history of this time, and possibly of all time. He was a great sinner. He was like the leper who came to Jesus, covered with leprosy, covered with sin, full of hatred. But yet, God loved him. God had a plan for him. God wanted him. And the challenge tonight we want to look at, God wanted Manasseh's attention. So how did he get that attention? We've just been reading 2 Chronicles. Just look at it with me for a moment. We want to look at this man's sin to see how terrible it was in verse 2. Notice he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Then it goes on to explain the type of sin he got up to in verse 4. He says he built altars in the house of the Lord, graven images in God's house. Verse 5, he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Then in verse 6, it says he caused his children to pass through the fire. His very flesh and blood, his very children, he used for human sacrifices. So what sort of a heart did this king have? I'm the king. I can do what I want. Nobody can tell me what to do. But God had a plan for his life. Notice also in verse 6, he observed times, he used enchantments, he used witchcraft, he dealt with familiar spirits, with wizards, and he wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. On one side, we have a God who is a God of love. But on the other side, now we have a God who is now very, very angry with this young man. Verse 7, he set a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God. And then verse 9, so to sum up Manasseh, he made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to error, and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. So in a nutshell, we've summed up the type of life, the type of sin that Manasseh was presently living in. And in spite of this, however, God loved Manasseh, and he longed for his salvation. And you might say to yourself, well, tonight I'm all dressed up, but if God only knew my heart, he would want nothing to do with me. My friend, tonight, whenever we compare you with living here, compared with Manasseh, you are an angel. And if God loved Manasseh, then how much more surely does he love you tonight? Of course, he hated Manasseh's sin, but he loved Manasseh. Why did Christ Jesus come into the world? To save sinners. For I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And my friend, tonight you need to acknowledge, first of all, that you're a sinner. And that makes you in good standing in God's eyes, because then he can save you. The Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners. That's the type of Christ we're speaking about tonight. He receives sinners. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. A faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We're all sinners. I was talking to a friend on Friday night. He's a friend who goes into schools in England. And she's been told, if you come into the school, under no circumstances can you say that any of these children or young people are sinners. If you want to call yourself a sinner, that's fine. But don't dare call these people sinners. I want you to pray that that'll never happen in these schools in this country. If it does, it's going to be terrible. But my friend, God's word tells and makes it clear, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Whenever we think about this portion of Scripture, whenever Manasseh was right away from God, God spoke to him. At his furthest point away from the Lord, God spoke to Manasseh. Look at verse 10, and let me read it with you. This surely is proof tonight that God loved him and was concerned for his welfare. After all this terrible living, terrible sinning, and the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. They would not listen. They would not hear what God was saying. God spoke to him. God speaks to people in all different sorts of ways. If he wants to use an animal, he'll do that. Did he not use Balaam's ass to speak? He can use whatever means he wants. But it says in verse 10, the Lord spoke to Manasseh. If God had not loved him, he would have not left him alone. So what did God do? So that's the man God loved. And now we're going to look at the method that God employed. This is the important part. This is the extreme that the Lord will go in order to save your soul from hell, in order to reach you before it's too late. Because the Lord loved Manasseh, he did not cast him off. He did three things. He let him have his fling, if you like, so that he'd come to an end of himself, just like the prodigal in the New Testament. The father did not override his son's wish to leave home. He let him go. Let him waste his money and waste his life to find out for himself that living in sin does not pay. And then in verse 10, he spoke a word of warning, as we've just read. And one of the most solemn warnings in all of the Bible is found in Proverbs 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and not without remedy. Our own minister this morning was speaking about a sudden death syndrome, hardly ever mentioned. But often whenever a young man's playing rugby or footballer and he just collapses on the field and dies and he doesn't get a heart attack, the doctors bring him in and they don't know what's happened, but he's dead. It's now summed up as sudden death syndrome. My friend, tonight that can happen to anyone in this meeting. Not necessarily to older people. The older person gets, the more natural it is to die. But whenever it happens to the young person, in your prime of life, in your prime of health, full of plans for tomorrow, And drop dead just like that is called sudden death syndrome. Whenever that happens, we're all going to come back 3 days later for your funeral. A very solemn and sad occasion. And what's going through my mind is, does that person know Christ Jesus as Savior? Don't care about their school. Don't care about how well they done what they left. It's where they're now. And that's what's important. Sudden death syndrome. But do you not see that the very fact that God reproves us is a proof that He loves us and is concerned about us? This was true in Manasseh's case. The most important part we come to is at verse 11. We find here that the Lord really wants Manasseh's attention. He speaks to him, He calls him, and He wants his attention. But he doesn't get it. What does he do? Of course, in the Bible times, there's all different ways of communication. But we find here, God did it for this man's good. Look at verse 11. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. The Lord sent an army, soldiers, to the king, to Manasseh, to get him. Didn't ask him no questions. If you like, to just trail them by the scruff of the neck through the thorns. Bound him with fetters. I think those were big cast irons around his feet to make sure he couldn't escape. 1 minute he's a king doing what he likes. Next minute he's a prisoner, been trailed through thorns. I don't know if any of you are any gardeners, and we all like to smell roses, but we certainly don't like to. I love to play hide and go seek, my favourite game. Don't care how old you are, you're welcome anytime. I love to play it, whether it's in Tesco's or the Forest Park, wherever it is. I remember some Tesco's one time with my nieces and nephews, and I don't like shopping, so while everyone's shopping, I'm playing hide and go seek. And I was hiding them in amongst these clothes, and this woman said, "Excuse me." And I said, "That's okay." She said, "Is your name Colin Sinsley?" I thought I was playing hide and go seek, so be sure your sin will find you out. No matter where you go, there's always people seems to know where you are. But here was Manasseh, and there was no hiding him. And he was trailed amongst the thorns. And I can tell you, if you ever get a thorn in your finger, you stop doing absolutely everything you're doing, and you focus on that thorn to get it pulled out of your finger or amongst your nail. For some people, lose a thorn in their hair. It's hard to find, but I have no problem finding it, I can tell you. It's straight out again. It's one of the most painful experiences you can ever experience. That's one thorn. Never mind getting trailed through a whole bush or bushes of thorns. The thorns sticking in his flesh, the blood flowing from his face, him screaming with all his life. An absolute pain. Take me out of here. But God's warned him, and he did not heed the warning. So this is drastic action that the Lord is using. Why is he doing this? Why is he trailing them through the thorns? For one reason is to bring him to his senses, to get his attention. And my young friends, tonight, God will use what it takes to get your attention. Believe me. God will do what it takes to get your attention. I remember the Lord wanted my attention. And I was driving up the carriageway one time, going to Bam Bridge, going to a place of shooting them and going. And my bonnet of my mini just went, whoosh, right up against the window and cracked my bonnet, never mind the window. And I thought to myself, that's strange. It never happened before. And that was the Lord said, "You're going to the wrong place." I disobeyed him. I tied him up with a bit of bailer twine and got into my dad's car. And I was going to the same place, flying around a wee country road. And I lost control of the car that night. I was straight into a stone wall. 3 times. That was the 3rd time. The Lord says, "I want your attention. And you're messing with me." If it happens once more, that's the end. And I took the message. The Lord was speaking through action. And that's what happened, Manasseh. And young people, don't let the Lord speak to you through action. The Lord will do what it takes. And if it calls once, twice, 3 times, if you don't hate him, the Lord will just carry you out, and that'll be the end. "My spirit shall not always strive with man." And if God tonight is speaking like he did with Manasseh, don't wait till he drags you through the thorns, because it will be a painful experience. God knew what he was doing, as he did with Saul of Tarsus, just smote him down on the road to Damascus. Today the Lord allows troubles and trials to fall heavily upon young people, upon men, upon women, in order that they may see the futility of living day after day without him. People often complain about the trouble, complain about trials, and never once think the Lord is using this to get my attention. The Lord is using it. Here is what he had to do to get Manasseh's attention. He was so caught up in his sin and his living, he never heeded the warning call. So the Lord, if you like, got him by the scruff of the neck and trailed him through the thorns to get his attention. And he got his attention. But notice the man that God loved and the method that God employed trailed him through the thorns. But notice finally here the miracle that God worked. Why did the Lord want Manasseh's attention? It's a miracle indeed. Look at verses 12 and 13. And when he was in affliction, that's why many people get saved. Many people find the Lord in the hospital bed. Many people find the Lord in the deathbed. But many people never make it there because they're straight into eternity. Don't leave it till then. It might be too late. He besought the Lord his God in his affliction and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and he heard his supplication. The Lord heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem, into his kingdom. Then listen, Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Well, here is one, think of it, the same man a moment ago we read about in this chapter. Now we find him, he's just sought the Lord, he's humbled himself before the Lord, he's praying to the Lord, and he experienced a wonderful restoration and transformation. Young people, in a nutshell, that's what needs to happen. Restoration, transformation, salvation. Not through me, not through the church, but through the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder tonight in the closing moments of this meeting, are you going to wait like Manasseh and live your life? Are you going to wait till the Lord calls once and twice? Maybe he's already done that. But tonight's your final warning. So up to date, old things pass away and all things become new. I started off, I'll finish with that young lady, Chappelle Corby, and it brought my attention to a portion of scripture Manasseh had just been reading. Whenever we were reading the following Australian newspapers about this here, suddenly within 1 week there was all these headlines because there was a change in this girl's life. One of them reported this young girl had become a Christian. Become a Christian in the prison cell. Of course, it was great if it was true. It was a good thing for what happened to her. Surely the Lord had then used it in order to get her attention. A young woman in her prime of life, going off on her holidays with her friends. Christianity, I'm sure, was the last thing in her mind. Many Australians have no thought or time for the things of God. Little did she realize what was about to take place. God needed to get her attention. What's the best way to get her attention? Put you in a small block with nothing but concrete so that you can think. And that's what he done with this girl. Stopped her in her tracks. Cast her into an old dirty prison. Then she had time to reflect, time to think. Then a messenger, a Christian worker, comes along to the prison. He comes along with a message. Jesus sets the prisoner free. And what a message that is for a prisoner. And it melted her heart, and what a story. Some people say there in the news line, she found God. But if you like, you could say, then God found her. The Lord found her in the prison cell. Another one was, this girl found religion. My friend, tonight you might find religion, but it's a relationship you need with Christ. Religion can do nothing for you, but a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ makes all the difference. Some people say she's got baptized. Different headlines. Baptism, of course, is good and proper in its place. But after salvation, of course, baptism comes. Many tonight are trusting in baptism to save them. It can do nothing absolutely for you. Preacher used to say it'll make you wetter, but it'll certainly make you no better. My friend, you need to start with the inside. It's a sin that needs dealt with, and water can never wash it away. We often say to the children, can fairy liquid wash away your sin? And all look at you, especially we P1s in this school. No, it cannot, don't be stupid, but of course it can. They know it can. I mention all the different fairy liquids and washing up liquids powder to make sure they understand there's only one remedy. Tell me, boys and girls, what can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that's the answer. I don't care how they say it, what accent they have. That's the message that they come home with. Christianity. If you find Christianity, we asked the question, is it possible to be born a Christian? Absolutely. As I say in Poland, absolutely, yeah. It certainly is not. You cannot be born a Christian, but you can become a Christian. And then there was a title, and I absolutely loved it. On the newspaper, right across the heading, Born Again. And I thought, there's a Free Presbyterian editor. Of course, it is used that. This is the term because the way the girl was speaking. And I really loved that term. And many people would say, I've heard this here. Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. And then you know what they say, but I'm not one of those born again Christians. I look at them as if to say, that's so sad. Have you ever heard such nonsense? You cannot be a Christian without being born again. You know why? Because the Lord Jesus says you must be born again. Born into your a natural family and born again into God's family. Then there's one final newspaper heading. It was on the Friday whenever she was brought before the courts. And it was simply entitled, Judgment Day. Judgment Day. And the whole Australian people, 20 million of them, had their attention of them all. They were selling out of papers before they were printed almost. People wanted to know what was going to happen to this Australian girl. And Friday called Judgment Day. There were three judges. And that young girl, two of them voted that she was wrong. And she spent her days in prison. But you know what that reminds me of? The real Judgment Day. But there won't be three judges. There'll be one judge. This girl had all the evidence in the world. But my friend, you'll have no evidence because God knows all things. This girl had her family and her friends and crowds to stand with her. But whenever you stand before the Lord in Judgment Day, you're going to stand alone. Nobody's going to stand with you. And then whenever that girl was announced guilty, obviously it was too late to do anything about it. If the Lord, you stand before the Lord in Judgment Day, and the Lord puts down the hammer and says, guilty. It's too late. This girl was making an appeal. But I can tell you, on the Judgment Day, there'll be no appeal. There'll be no appeal 6 months later, 6 weeks later. It's too late. This girl was sentenced to 20 years. But whenever you're sentenced, in hell, it's not going to be for 20 years. It's going to be forever. It's going to be forever. That's why we have these meetings. Because we love you in the Lord and we don't want you to go there. The story of Manasseh reminds us, just like John Bunyan. One day he was swearing and blaspheming. Godless John Bunyan heard a voice saying, wilt thou leave thy sins and go to heaven, or have thy sins and go to hell? My friend, tonight what will you do? Tonight will you leave your sins and go to heaven? Or will you hold, will you cleave to your sin and go to hell? John Bunyan, just like Manasseh, he left his sins and became a valiant servant of the Lord. But I wonder tonight, what will you do? Time has now gone. Will you repent of your sin? What must God do to get your attention? Don't leave it too late like he did with Manasseh. My friend, we must repent. And I pray in Jesus' name tonight, if the Lord is speaking to you, and you know that you're not right with God, don't leave it until it's too late. Because it will not be a nice experience. I trust and pray the Lord will give you the grace and the strength to come to the Lord Jesus tonight. Let's pray them and hand over to our brother. This young Australian, John Bunyan, Manasseh, all had their lives transformed. The Lord got their attention in three different ways. But the challenge tonight is, if the Lord wants your attention, what must he do? Tonight will you come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus.